Our first public hearing is conditional use 1705, the Commonwealth Group.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for warehousing, mini storage, and contractor condominiums to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 74.04 acres, more or less, lying west of Park Avenue, also known as State Truck Route 9, south of the railroad, and 0.7 miles south of Route 9. Now, for the benefit of the record and to save time, I pass down copies of the agency comments received to date for the benefit of the commission members. We have correspondence through the Department of Transportation. We have the Office of State Planning Coordination comments based on the Preliminary Land Use Service, also known as PLUS, review that was held in August of last year. We have Landmark Engineering's comments in response to the PLUS questions and comments. We have comments from the County Engineering Department relating to SOAR and the airport. And we have also a copy of the finding of facts and conditions suggested by the applicant through their attorney. It is a part of the record, and the purpose is to give those to the commission members. The second item that we have is a copy of an exhibit booklet from Landmark Engineering. And its contents includes references to the existing property, land use, proposed improvements, agency reviews, site utilities, site entrance and road improvements, floodplain and wetlands, rare species and forest delineation. And then there are attachments which include a 2002 photo, tax parcel maps, land use maps, zoning maps, USGS quad maps, traffic impact study, executive summary, a rare and endangered species letter, and a forest stand delineation report that is also a part of the record. And that was received on June 11th. I've also received, and I'll introduce those items that just came in this evening that came in opposition to this application. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, Commonwealth Group. With me tonight from Commonwealth are Bob Ruzio and Tim Jones, and Bob Stronsky from Landmark Engineers, the project designer. This project is a response to the continuing growth at the Sussex County Airport and the Industrial Park. We believe that you'll find it's consistent with the county's comprehensive plan. It's intended to stimulate economic growth and development at what the county has designated in the plan as an employment center. I've been doing land use work for a number of years, and this may be the first application I've ever presented that's supported by the state of Delaware. Specifically, the Delaware Department of Economic Development has written that it strongly supports this project. This property is contiguous to the industrial park and is a logical location for an expansion of the park. Currently, the industrial park only has about 2 to 3 acres of land available. The rest of the park is built out, employing approximately 1,100 people. Utilizing this property for residential development just does not make sense. With that said, I'd ask Bob Stronsky to come forward. Bob, if you could identify yourself for the record and describe your credentials briefly.
My name is Bob Stronsky. I'm with Landmark Engineering. I've been designing civil sites like this for over 20 years.
And you were responsible for this project, Bob?
Yes, I've done all the work on this.
Bob, on the easel is an enlargement of Figure 2 from the county's comprehensive land use plan. For the benefit of the commission and the audience, can you point where this property is on that map?
Well, I'm going to hand these out to the commissioner.
Help.
Thank you.
Narrow down.
you could point on the easel where the property is.
Property in question is right here.
You were
the big EC.
And EC stands for what, so far as you know?
Excuse me, just for a second, Mr. Stronsky, would you mind standing on the other side and pointing so that the public can see where you were pointing at? There you go. Thank you. For anyone who has an interest.
And if you look here, Bob, EC stands for
Employment Center.
Is the property within
the yellow area and the area identified as an employment center?
Yes, it is.
Can you describe, using the four points of a compass, what's north, south, east, and west of this property?
Well, to the north of the site is railroad tracks, and just beyond the tracks is Softball World or Sports at the Beach. To the northeast is currently a farm field. To the east is Truck Route 9, just opposite. The other side of Truck Route 9 are some residential properties. To the south is also a residential property, mostly wooded to the south side of us. And to the west is the industrial air park.
Can you describe the property in its present condition?
Currently, a portion of it was being agged. Much of it, probably 70% of it, is probably wooded right now, and it has been forested in the past.
Are there any wetlands on site?
Yes, there are.
Based on your design, will there be any impacts on wetlands if this project is developed?
None.
As a part of planning this site, did you commission an assessment of trees or a tree study?
Yes, we did. We had JCM do the tree assessment.
And
they did the rare species. Parker Forestry did the tree assessment.
Can you summarize that assessment?
The assessment done by Parker stated that most of the trees located on the site are of generic brands of the Sussex area, loblolly pines, white oaks, things of that nature. There are no unusually large trees in the area. Like I said, it's been forested before.
You mentioned that you commissioned a rare plant, rare animal study.
Yes. And by JCM, who did the wetlands delineation also.
Can you summarize the results of that study?
They've done field investigations, and based on their professional opinion, there are no endangered plants or species on the site.
This project is developed. What will be the source of water and sewer to the property?
Currently, we're projecting to retrieve water from the airport site, and the sewer they have a pump station there that we will pump the effluent to, and then of course it then will go from there to the main station.
Is this property in any flood zone, to your knowledge?
No.
As a part of your design, you've been obliged to do some stormwater calculations, haven't
yes.
you? Is it correct that all stormwater will be managed and dealt with on site?
Oh, yes.
So there'll be no off-site disposal of stormwater?
No.
DLDOT required a traffic impact study. Can you summarize what the requirements that DLDOT has placed on development of this project are?
Well, basically, the intersection to the north, Route 9 and Route 9's intersection will have to be lighted. There'll be a protected left turn lane to turn onto 9 and a right turn lane to turn onto 9 from Truck Route 9. The intersection below us where 9 ties into Bedford, there'll be upgrades to that intersection. At the site, there will have to be a protected left turn lane into the site, Excel right turn lane into the site, and an acceleration lane out of the site.
And the land to create that additional roadway will come off of this project?
Exactly.
Did DLDOT also require some sort of path or bicycle area? Did I read that? A 15
yes,
foot?
Provide a 15 foot wide multimodal path.
So, in addition to the increased right of way, and the turn lanes. There's a 15-foot pathway.
Yes, that'll be additional.
Further set the project back on the property. You have been to Plus and come back. Can you summarize briefly what your responses were to the Plus comments?
Well, the Plus made comments based on the, they would like to have seen the 100-foot buffer around the wetlands, but we are providing 50, which is more than sufficient. The site itself is going to drain fairly well, and it's all, like I say, it's all going to be managed on site. They have stated that this is a prime place for this particular site. They are in complete agreement with putting this site here.
But nothing that Plus has suggested or required is something that you cannot engineer. That's all I have of Mr. Stronsky, if you all would like to ask him questions before I call my next witness.
I would think we would like to hear the rest of your presentation, then
we'll
ask our questions all at once, if that's okay.
Bob, could you come forward?
Sure.
Bob, if you could introduce yourself to the commission. And
my name is Bob Ruggio. I'm one of the principals with the Commonwealth Group.
Bob, can you tell the commission briefly how you came to acquire this property?
Basically, the Commonwealth Group, who has done basically development throughout the state of Delaware over the past 35 years, got to work with Sussex County with Steve Mastin, who was Director of Economic Development for Sussex County. We've worked with Steve for about 15 years, and then he and I have sit on the Delaware Economic Development Council for all that time, going around the country and promoting different sites within Delaware. In one of my trips down here, I told Steve about a year ago that I was joining the Georgetown Chamber of Commerce and was interested in what was happening in Georgetown because we heard there was a lot of activity relative to the airport, and that's how we knew Steve Mastin. Steve then shared with me that the park itself or the airport was basically running out of ground, and there has been requests coming in for box distribution facilities. And beside that, we were getting input from our marketing group and from the local brokers in the area that there was a tremendous market for small, what I call industrial condominiums, for small businesses who were working not only here but down in the beach area. With that, we did a study of properties with the help of the Georgetown Economic Development or Georgetown Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Committee, and identified some sites. This happened to be the one site that attracted us most. And that's how we got to meet the county and worked with the airport and identified the site.
This property is not under contract. You've acquired it.
We have acquired and closed on the property. Yes, we have.
Have you been approached by any prospective tenants to occupy what you plan to build?
I guess what really drew us to making a final conclusion to purchase was one of the members or one of the occupants of the airport, which was Pat's Aircraft. It was obvious that after talking to Pat's, which is a division of Ducrane or Credit Suisse Bank, that the aircraft industry was growing here. And we looked at their facilities. We do box distribution facilities throughout all three counties. And currently have two of them, two parks, actually three parks located not only in Kent but also in Newcastle County. And Pat's was really telling us through Steve Mastin that they were going to expand, they were going to need more distribution or warehouse type facilities and probably more hangar facilities here. And I believe that now working with them for over 9 months with the county, we definitely anticipate that the county is going to see quite a growth in jobs and a real need for facilities for them. And that's what really kind of confirmed our decision to buy.
What other inquiries have you received about the project?
We're getting inquiries right now from those contractors working more into the beach area, looking for small operations. I brought a some pictures of some of the facilities that we're contemplating, which is along Truck Route 9. These are small industrial condominiums, office in front, warehouse in the back. And these are to be sold or leased to a either a buyer or a business that that wants to operate or work throughout the beach area or the local area. And we're getting a lot of calls on this particular product and have got commitments already for one of the buildings.
Is there a particular theme or appearance you try to create when you do projects such as this?
I think what you're seeing there is typical to one of the Commonwealth projects. If you were to visit us either in Kent, we developed the Kent Aero Park. We were the first people to build in there, and that it's still an operating park today with Dover. And if you were to go into Newcastle Airport, we developed over a half a million square feet of office on the airport there and over a quarter million square feet of distribution warehouse right alongside the runway and next to the glide path in Newcastle. So we traditionally like to keep a theme. What you're seeing there is a block building. We like to keep a block building and a pretty clean look with all kind of colors kind of muted so that there's not multiple different looks walking into a park.
Am I correct looking at the plan that approximately 17 and a half acres of trees will be preserved as a part of your design and construction?
Yes. First of all, the park will be phased. Phase one is where the first box is planned, the box currently that Pat's is looking at for distribution and warehousing, and in the industrial side. So we intend to cut the property more or less in half and do 50% of it, or at least start 50% of it, and then move on to the second 50%. We will be clearing the area where you see the first phase of the project, which is coming out of the industrial park off of Baltimore Avenue for the Pat's warehouse, proposed warehouse facility.
As a part of going forward with your application, have you had occasion to speak with any neighbors of your property?
Yes, I got a call from a Mr. Rogers, and I believe he's here tonight. As our other projects in both counties will at least tell you that as a Commonwealth group and as a development group, we take our neighbors serious, and we want to be good neighbors. That's probably one of the first things we do is we look around a project and see what reflection it might give to the neighborhood, basically. In this particular case, Mr. Rogers lives directly across from the proposed industrial condominiums that will be put up for sale or lease. And I got a chance to meet with him and his daughter and several of the neighbors and expressed to them a willingness to work with him. His concerns were noise. That's not usually a function in our park. Mostly distribution and warehouse or light industrial does not generate a lot of noise. However, I did offer to work with them in doing some screening for them, both on their properties and ours.
Finally, Bob, you've been in this business for a while. Do you have an opinion as to whether this project will have a negative impact on property values in the neighborhood?
I think like any development, I think once we're up and building and completed at some point, I think it will increase the values of those areas. I think the improvements we're doing to the road sections will make it safer. And I think the landscaping and the screening that we normally put into our parks will just make it aesthetically pleasing. And I see those values going up, not down.
Mr. Whitley, that's all I have of Mr. Ruggio. If I could close, then you can ask whatever questions you have.
Go right ahead.
Thanks. I'm obliged for the record to reference the plan. I know that all of you are acutely aware of the economic development element of the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. I need to read from it. At page 75, the plan states that Sussex County maintains an economic development office with the responsibility for promoting, expanding, and diversifying the economic and employment base of the county. The office recruits businesses for employment centers. The current capital improvement program anticipates spending $6.8 million at the Airport Industrial Park in fiscal year 03 and $16.3 million over the next 5 years. Several of the economic development growth strategies in the plan include coordination of state, municipal, and county efforts to expand business in industrial parks, to recognize, as the plan does, employment centers, and to seek state and federal funding to supplement local funding for expansion of employment centers. Finally, in the economic development element of the plan, there is a map, and you've seen it, of the strategies for state spending. It's the state spending policy. This property in this area is obviously identified as an employment center, and the state says it will commit resources here. Whether you can believe that, I leave to you, but we know who's going to pay for the improvements to Industrial Park Boulevard. As figure two of the land use plan makes clear, this is part of an employment center. It is situated on a state-identified truck route named appropriately enough Industrial Park Boulevard. The question that you must ask yourselves as members of the commission is, if economic growth is to occur in Sussex County, where should it occur? I believe the land use plan answers that question for you, and this is the spot. One thing that I think is not too far off in the future, as the county continues to expand the airport, not the airport, the airport, and the runway grows to 5,000 feet, and a complete instrument landing system is installed. Once that occurs, I think you'll see every package hauler in the world trying to locate at the Georgetown Airport. And by package hauler, I mean the UPSs, the FedExes, and the DHLs. This site, the airport and the industrial park, is a natural hub for the Eastern Shore. Just as the airport has grown by leaps and bounds over the past number of years, so will the industrial park. It's unfortunate that residential neighbors on the east side of Industrial Park Boulevard feel threatened by this project, but I invite them to look at some of Commonwealth's work in Kent County and in Newcastle. I think that they'll find some small comfort in the fact that Commonwealth will be a good neighbor. But the bottom line is, if there's to be economic growth and industrial growth in this county, the comprehensive plan makes clear it should happen at this site. That's all we have. We'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see see if we have any questions for you. Mr. Johnson, this lies in your vast territory. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to begin with, I might have some questions for legal counsel concerning procedural issues, but in particular, Mr. Byard, I was a bit surprised at the thoroughness or lack of thoroughness of the materials that were presented to us by Landmark Engineering, and I'll start with the plus comments and response to plus comments, and first off, Mr. Robertson, with the plus comments, I see a date on the letter of June the 12th. I understand it was received by the Planning and Zoning Office on the 13th. And today's the 14th, so it doesn't meet our 72-hour time frame. So is this material that we can consider as part of the record?
Well, with the plus comments, when you're referring to, well, let me go through.
Referring to the response to the plus comments by Landmark Engineering.
I would say that with those, probably it should, and here's why. I think the way the commission's handled it in the past is, if we don't have the plus comments, the record's been held open to receive them.
Actually, Mr. Johnson, that is typically what we've done years gone by. It's, I think it's a point well taken, and I would encourage you to continue to make your point.
All right. And
But I think they should be admitted.
Okay. And following up on that comment and the fact that we will accept it, one of the things I'd like to point out to Landmark is that the submission date to the Office of Management and Budget was on the 12th of June, which obviously doesn't give them adequate time to respond to the information that was submitted to them. And as stated in the plus comments letter that was dated October 23rd of 2006, mind you, 10 months ago, that if there's any changes in the plan, that the state would like to reserve the opportunity to comment further. And with that in mind, Mr. Robertson, might it be appropriate that the record be left open for a response by the state to this late letter that was submitted to the state?
And that's certainly within your purview to do. I guess the question is, what changes to the plan were made? I don't know the answer to that necessarily between the two.
Well, that was part of the cumbersome review that I was doing in preparation for the meeting today. And I might add, Mr. Byard, I almost ran out of stickers when I was making sticker comments on the plus comments and trying to match that up with the response from Landmark and that referencing back and forth. But anyhow, with that editorial said, I'll try and figure out an orderly method of questions given this. One of the things I would ask is a definition of warehouses and what the intended uses are in those warehouses. Are we talking storage? Are we talking?
These are distribution warehouses. Normally it's storage of materials and distribution of those materials in most cases.
So we're not talking manufacturing. We're not talking putting together components. We're talking about shipping.
I can't say that for sure, but I can tell you that there are distribution boxes that we build, either a big box or small box. But the applicant itself or the tenant would have to then decide or tell us what he's going to do inside the facility. I know that in discussion with Pat's, they're storing materials and that they're receiving from different divisions from their own company. And believed installing them into the planes at the hangars at the airport.
And, sir, are you aware of, with conditional uses, the ability of the Planning and Zoning Commission to put a number of stipulations on projects and that typically we just don't give a conditional use without some stated purpose that we can specify that they are to be adhered to?
I'm aware of that, but I'm also aware of the fact that in just like we would normally bring a tenant in, any tenant that would come to the park has to meet the zoning requirements of that park and its conditions, so that if a tenant came in, he'd have to conform to whatever the uses are in that zoning district. Yeah.
And Mr. Robertson, one of the things that appeared to me that there may have been a change somewhere between the original PLUS submission back in August of 2006 and today. There was reference to, in the PLUS comments, of 243,000 square feet of mini storage, but today we're talking about 54,000?
That's correct.
What happened to the other 180,000 square feet?
We continue to do market analysis with the brokers in the county, specifically Sussex County, and when we did that initially, we were still getting materials in. We later found out in looking at personal storage that typically a personal storage unit didn't exceed 50,000. We don't do personal storage units. In that particular case, we would have been looking for a company that does that product to come in and do that component. So after reviewing the plan and knowing that, we then reduced that component down to 50,000 to comply with the market that's nationally put out, and then made them industrial boxes or industrial condominiums for small business.
Well, maybe for, it might be easier for me to go through the plus comments and some of the questions that I have earmarked, and I'll try and skip some of my stickers, Mr. Byard, for sake of time, Mr. Chairman. But I noticed, for example, on page 3 of 19 of the plus comments, makes reference to warehouse number 3 and 4 requiring a filling of wetlands. But yet I read somewhere else that the impact on wetlands will be minimal, or they were not jurisdictional wetlands. Do we have a determination on those areas?
I'm not the engineer. I called Bob Strowski to come up and respond to your question.
JCM has done the wetlands delineations, and they have since provided the Corps with their determinations, and they feel that the two areas, the pockets that we're concerned with in the area of the buildings 3 and 4 were isolated and were not jurisdictional.
Okay.
You don't have a determination from the Corps that they agree with that, though?
I haven't seen anything come back yet, but that doesn't mean that JCM doesn't have that.
The application has been submitted, is that correct?
Oh, yes, it's been submitted for a couple months. The Corps is quite slow in answering anything.
And obviously that what the court finally determines in that would have an impact on what might or might not be built there.
Yes, if they disagree with what JCM has come up with, yes.
Jumping to page 5 of 19, the Department of Transportation refers to a traffic impact study. And somewhere else I read that one was done, but I've not seen it. Has that been submitted to the commission?
I don't. We just provided you with the summary.
I think it was required, wasn't it?
DLDOT changed their mind.
Initially, yeah. Mr. Whitley, one was not required.
First they said no, then they said, and they said that based on, they thought the impact and number of vehicles involved was going to be much less.
Okay. In response to the PLUS review, okay, DLDOT changed its mind and insisted on a traffic impact study, which was performed. I believe one's in the record, Lawrence, is it not?
No, sir.
It's not.
Not in the record.
It's about 300 pages. It's pretty pretty in depth. Yes.
Attached to your project booklet is the executive summary.
The executive summary out of the
conclusions and requirements of the applicant.
Okay. Mr. Robertson, would that incorporate it by reference?
I'll tell you. Typically, it. There's been a TIS that's been in the file. That's how it's been handled in the past with applications. The executive summary is the part that everybody looks at and refers to, because that's the part that digests the 300 pages that I think this gentleman referred to.
The rest of it's just diagrams.
It's what the applicants decided to submit as part of the
traffic
record.
Count. The
so besides the traffic light at the intersection of Truck Route 9 and Route 9 and the turn lanes on Route 9 and Truck Route 9, was there any discussion of road improvements from the Springfield Road, I believe it is, and the Route 9?
No mention of road improvements, only to provide the protected left turn lane into the site, the XL and DCL lanes.
And seemed to be a central theme throughout the PLUS comments concerning the removal of the amount of forested area. And I noticed your comment said you were saving 17 and a half acres, but it doesn't address their concern about the removal of the other 25 acres of forest land and the impact that causes on the surrounding area. Having driven by there today, again, and seeing the deer in the field, and even further down the road, we got some free-range chickens running around. I guess the raccoons haven't found those yet. But so the impact on the wildlife area, the impact on whether that then drives those animals perhaps on closer to the airport and or whatever. But I noticed that was a central concern that was addressed by PLUS, but was kind of glossed over by the response.
Well, we really don't plan to remove any more trees than we have to. All of the wetlands that are jurisdictional basically fall within the wooded areas, and that will all be maintained. That's usually where most of your wildlife is supported, anywhere where there's a water source.
And I'll skip to page 12 and 19 concerning the open space at the bottom, where they express a concern about having the wetlands placed into perhaps a conservation easement or permanent protection mechanism. And I believe your response was the owner has no plans to place any parts of the property into a permanent conservation easement or other permanent protection mechanism. Why would that be? If the wetlands can't be utilized, can't be developed, basically can't be touched.
This is true. So I'm sorry to say I didn't write the comments.
Okay.
My boss did.
Perhaps so. He should be here.
Yeah.
How much wetlands are we talking about? If it turns out that the Corps says that there's wetlands there, I guess that's the threshold question.
I think we know from our own experience that if the Corps determines that there's wetlands, there won't be anything built on.
Yeah, right.
And I would suspect that if they are in fact wetlands, there really wouldn't be any reason. You know, I think the question might be that you might want to ask the applicant is that if they were determined to be wetlands, would there be a problem putting them in some kind of permanent conservation mechanism?
That's a great question.
And Bob Ruggio will speak to that.
Bob Ruggio again, Commonwealth Group. As a normal structure for a park like this, we will have a maintenance corporation that will maintain that park, including the wetlands area, so that in any park we go in, as a tenant comes in and acquires his either building or participates in the lease of a building, along with that, he pays a maintenance portion to make sure that he contributes to the maintenance of the park so that we can maintain a quality throughout the length of the park, because we normally do these parks and keep them for many, many years and do not just buy them to sell. But we do have a maintenance corp, and maybe that addresses your concern on the how do we maintain the site and the wetlands.
Let's skip to page 18 of 19. I'm getting close to the end of the PLUS comments. There was a concern about wet pine in approximation to the airport. And I noticed that the one closest to the airport is proposed as dry, but the one closest to Route 9 is a wet pine. Is there a reason for, engineering-wise, why there would be a wet pine versus a dry pine?
Basically, the water table is very high. Typically, ponds are at least a foot to 2 feet deep, and the water table is right there. So I don't know how we could prevent that one not being wet. The other pond is extremely large because of that fact, and it's going to be kept very shallow to stay dry, plus the fact that FAA won't permit it to be wet, because it's right in the path of the planes.
So what might possibly be done to the proposed wet pond that could turn it into a dry pond? Make it bigger?
Possibly.
One of the comments, now I'm going back to your boss's comment response to PLUS. One of my concerns there is looking at page 2, number 5. It makes reference to having a clearing permit applied for, but yet you don't have approval for the project yet?
No, that's been submitted to SCD. It's almost been a month now. I'm expecting some kind of response to them shortly.
And there was made reference in there about perhaps a July clearing date?
This is true.
Would that clearing begin before it's been finally approved by the commission and the council?
No clearing will be done. Can't.
I just want it on record.
Okay.
Because I'm seeing one thing in writing, and I want to make sure there's something else that's understood and agreed upon.
No, clearing, the clearing and grubbing of the ground cannot start until we have approval from SCD. Now, I was told, and this is from Mr. Jim Elliott at SCD, that tree harvesting is okay. It's just the clearing and the grubbing, which is what tears the ground up, that can't be done.
Okay.
And that means that the trees can be cut, the stumps can't be pulled.
Back to your earlier comment about the rare and endangered species and that a study has been done by your own report that was submitted to us, and I'm referencing the letter from JCM Environmental. They're stating in the first paragraph that a formal study has not been conducted, yet it's their personal or their professional opinion that there are no rare, threatened, or endangered species, yet they haven't done the formal study. And then later, the last paragraph, they're saying that a formal study will be performed to verify it, but it doesn't say when. So I'm concerned that the comments that I heard was that there aren't any, but yet I'm seeing in your own report that the formal study has not been done yet.
Mr. Johnson, in that regard, I'd point out that this property is not in an environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. A rare plant, rare animal study is not something that's required. It's something that's being voluntarily proffered by the applicant. If we were in an ESDDOZ area, it would be mandatory.
The JCM has done physical walks of the site. They've went down there to delineate the wetlands. They've also revisited the site when I requested this species be verified. So they have physically visited the site on numerous occasions, and it is their professional opinion that the rare animals or species of plant life does not exist, but that they are going to do a more formal study and provide the paperwork and whatever else is required to back what they professionally call no visible sites of any of the rare plants or animals.
Well, again, it's in response to what I read in the written materials that were provided to us and the oral statements that were presented so far today. There's also the issue of the water and the sewer. And excuse me for jumping around, but as you can tell from I guess maybe you can't see all my stickers. There are some issues about the water and sewer, and that the intention was to use the county's water and sewer, but yet there hasn't been any application or approval by the county to do that. What's the status of that?
They met with Georgetown, who is my understanding controls the sewer allocations for the airport, and it's of their opinion that there's capacity to provide the sewer. The water is currently being upgraded in the air park right now. And it's been my understanding since day one that the air park was going to provide the water. They're even providing plans to extend it down Baltimore Avenue so it can be tied into.
Well, I'm looking at a June 12th, 2007 letter from Utility Planning from the Sussex County Engineering Department. And on number six of that, it talks about Sussex County owns and operates the wastewater collection and transmission system to the airport. And no agreements have been reached with Sussex County to provide wastewater services. And this next paragraph makes reference to Sussex County owns and operates a water system at the airport. And once again, no agreements have been reached. So,
Mr. Johnson, if I may, just because working with the county engineering department, I don't want you to necessarily read more into that statement than what it says. There's been discussions with engineering about doing it. I think what that probably refers to, and probably should get clarification from the engineering department if you have a question, but is that the final method of connecting the how and the where and the what hasn't been done. I know it because I've been involved in the discussions about that occurring. So I don't want you to read more into that statement and that, you know, almost engineering doesn't know anything about it or it's not been discussed.
Well, I don't question that, but what I'm hearing is two different things. Town of Georgetown owns it, and then I hear the county owns it. So it's part of it seeking clarification is who owns what and whether what that, I don't know. Does the county own it or is it down in Georgetown?
You know, I'm not sure that I know the answer to that either. But I think it's also probably, not knowing the specifics of this one, but a question of which is better able to serve, given where the sewer lines are located also. But certainly that's something that we could get clarification from county engineering. I think they'd be able to do that.
Okay. Mr. Abbott, I'll throw this your way. With front yard setbacks, with the buildings and parking that are shown on the proposed site plan, are any of those areas within the front yard setback?
I need a copy of the site plan. On this site plan, the required setback is 40 feet. The parking is not located within that setback.
So he's right because the parking's here. There's your line. The parking's actually up here, and you can have maneuvering space. So that's okay.
I just want to make sure that wasn't an issue, in particular with the storage building or mini storage building that's proposed closest to the truck route 9.
It may be 10 feet, 10, 15 feet from the 40-foot building restriction line.
Okay. And perhaps my last thing, unless I see another sticker, has to do with all the parking. Looking at the proposed parking as shown on the warehouse number one, which I understand is the first building that you're intending to put up, it appears as though there's 236 parking spaces.
This
for
is
a warehouse and distribution center. Is that why so many?
I think the problem is there's insufficient parking on the current PATS portion of the airport, and they're requesting that additional parking be provided there so that their employees can park.
Because it just seems so out of proportion to everything else that was proposed on the plan. And,
that was a request by PATS themselves.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I've asked enough questions for a while.
All right, sir. We'll move on.
Mr. Burton.
Thank you. It was very thorough, Mr. Johnson. Reading this, there are three proposed mini storage buildings that penetrate the future runway protection zone. However, this is acceptable as long as the buildings are not used for places of public assembly. Are you saying that the buildings are inside the zone?
The original plan did not show any of the buildings within that zone. I don't know where that comment come from because I took particular notice to that, and I didn't want any of the buildings in there because there's a height restriction also.
Well, it says the 42 or less height, and then it says three proposed mini storage buildings do penetrate the future runway protection zone.
That original plan has been modified since then, and since then there is a future runway zone that exceeded the old one, so I had to pull the buildings that much further back to eliminate being within that protection area. So I know for a fact that there's no buildings within even the future runway protection area.
Okay.
But doesn't it go on to say, though, that if they're not used for a place of assembly, they're permitted?
Yes.
Yeah. And a self-storage building typically is not more than about 10 or 12 feet tall. I mean, they're just, you know.
But that's height just in the flyway.
Mm-hmm. I'll expand on that a little bit, too, just because, again, having dealt with some of these issues on other parts of the county airport, a lot of that comes from FAA requirements. And I'll point out to the commission again that, you know, I don't know what you're going to do on this, if you're going to defer it, act favorably on it, you know, deny it, whatever. But if it gets approved, they're going to have to come back for site plan. And I can assure you that it's going to go through county engineering if that occurs. And also the county has a consultant that deals with all the FAA regs to make sure that if there is an RPZ, that affects this, that they're going to make sure that there's nothing built in it.
Yeah.
That's for certain, right? Because that's an issue that's come up, you know, on four different sides of the airport. What's there, what could be built there?
Yeah, Jim Hickens, who's associated with the airport and the county engineer's office, I've been working with him closely about all of this. And he keeps me sharp on it.
How many entrances are proposed to get this?
Two currently.
And then is there a third one that comes out?
Third
on
one.
This? Turn
around. Well, we'd be coming off of Baltimore Avenue, just inside the industrial park, from the airport.
Mm-hmm. And that's a proposed stuff.
That's proposed, yeah. That would be a requirement by Pats so they could get in to and from their warehouse.
What about lighting? Is this a well-lit...
There again, we can only light it to where the county code permits us to light it and provide the number of foot candles per square foot that's required by the zoning, and that's the best we can do. We can't do any more.
I imagine the FAA might have something to say about that.
That also, yeah. I'm sure Jim Hickens will keep me on that one, too.
What is any part of this gated? Is there a control with the mini storage of any kind?
To my understanding, I think Pat's wants their portion gated.
In our discussions or meetings with Mike Gizzo or Jim Hickens, Pat's has asked for their purpose that they have access to their building through Baltimore Avenue, and that has been worked or at least discussed with Jim and the county, or with the county. And in regards to lighting, by the way, because it was brought up by the neighbor, Mr. Rogers, he asked about the lighting along the truck route 9. That lighting will be shielded so that it doesn't reflect onto the road and across to the neighbors. That's just part of what we do in the parks.
Can you respond to Mr. Burton's questions about the gate or gating for Pat's?
No, on the personal storage units, they usually are gated because they're a self-contained product. And I think most of them are when you do see them on the highway.
That's all the questions I have. Ah, one more. What's the anticipated amount of employees that are in this park?
Wow, that's a tough one. Again, Bob Ruggio, Commonwealth. In a lot of warehouse facilities, we could be doing a large warehouse. Give you an example, we did a Delaware's only fire storage flammable liquid facility up in Newcastle, and was over 75,000 square feet contained, and they had six employees. On the other hand, we've done warehouse facilities where I've seen as many as 40, 50 people It depends on the traffic in that particular structure.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy.
I just have one. Most of them have been answered. I think I read it somewhere in the plus response that you'll be willing to do a landscape buffer along Route 9. I read that?
Well, again, in my my meetings with the neighbors, I've offered to screen through our landscaping the front of our property and also some of their property. I offered to go on to their property and actually do some screening if that would help for some visual effect.
So is there enough room along Route 9 between your parking and your the edge of the roadway for a landscape buffer?
I believe we do have a landscape plan in conforming to the county, and that would be a screening effect to the neighbors.
So it'll be there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all the question I have.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to the other members of the commission. I think you've done a great job asking all the questions that I have, but I do have a few, and I have a question. In listening to you, it seems as though a good deal of the site is predicated on what I guess would be your benchmark or linchpin type client of it being Pat's aircraft.
Yes and no.
Would it be okay? So there would be some fairness to say that a lot of the site with the parking spaces and things, what I heard you say was predicated around the demands of this premium prospective client?
Only with regards to the one building.
For the one.
That kind of was early in the process. Since that time, we have gotten two requests, one for two more boxes and also for three of the small condominiums in the front of the structure, the low light industrial condominiums. And I think once we select a broker to actually promote the site, I think we'll see a lot more traffic.
I have some familiarity with, let's say, contractors and things like that that you referenced would be working in the area or in the beach area, and the demands and influences on their businesses. But aircraft, I'm going to, with your credentials that you stated, you know that industry. Is the aircraft industry a fairly stable industry, or is it subject to market fluctuations and influences such as jet fuel cost and things?
I think all of the industries, depending on which one you select. Up north, for instance, in Newcastle, we played a very big part in the automobile industry. We supplied a lot of the just-in-time warehousing for the GM and the Chrysler plant. In looking at Sussex County, specifically at the airport with Steve Mastin and the background, obviously the aircraft industry has moved into another market phase. It's actually very busy. The market is very strong. The aircrafts are changing. What's I think driving, and I'm being educated, and I'm just the landlord trying to build a box for the warehouse people or for the distribution people. What I'm hearing is that they're going to smaller planes, and Pat's works that market into what they call a 737 or a 757 aircraft, which can land in Georgetown. And so they're going from the big planes back to the small planes, which has increased the market throughout the U.S. In that aircraft industry. So yes, the aircraft industry right now is strong and well.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And I guess for Mr. Byard, and then deferring and respecting what you said when you started, all of your experience in presenting and handling land use cases. For myself, I've only had 30 months on the commission, but correct me if I'm wrong, what I've seen on our conditional use applications is different conditions that the commission has imposed and some efforts of policing. I respect your decision and how you proceeded on this. curiosity as to why this is a conditional use and not an application for change of zone.
For that specific reason, Mr. Smith, the ability to impose conditions is available only with a conditional use. This is a project that needs to be designed, and if it's to be approved, needs to be approved with some planning, with some sensitivity. If this were a light industrial application, the applicant would be able to do anything permitted in the light industrial zone, mm-hmm. as a matter of right. The better course, we think, is a condition use because it does give the county the ability to have some control over how the property is developed.
Then, there again, correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm guilty of doing too much planning, but if the market changed, if perhaps the areas that were dedicated to an aircraft firm, if that business went belly up, or we were the dirigible or something became the new parts mover and shaker in the delivery thing, and we dedicated perhaps this big building and all these parking spaces, then are we hoist by our own petard there that we can't change and utilize some of the space that's been allocated for parking spaces for smaller buildings, perhaps more demand for mini storage?
That would be a function of a separate additional conditional use application. That may be the charm of the conditional use process, is it gives the county a level of continuing control. If this were zoned like industrial, once the zoning classification were assigned, the owner could do what is permitted in the light industrial zone. It's a matter of right.
Yeah. But I don't see that as a negative. You're saying you see the conditional use as a plus?
As a planning plus.
As a planning
and as
plus.
A control plus. As you know, a change of zone is pretty expansive. And if you look at all the permitted uses in a light industrial zone, there are a lot of things in there that I think would be offensive even to residents in the industrial park.
Say that again.
There are a number of...
I'm asking you because I thought you said this was what was so great about this site was having it near the county.
What I'm saying is that there are permitted, if you get a change of zone to light industrial, mm-hmm. there are permitted uses. You don't need a conditional use. There are permitted uses in the light industrial zone that might prove offensive to other tenants, mm-hmm. other occupants mm-hmm. of the industrial park or the airport, that someone with a light industrial zoning classification could do as a matter of right.
And that would have been the logical zoning classification to seek for the King property would have been light industrial.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, as I say, you've got more time than I do. And thank you, sir.
Certainly.
Just have a question of... So going back to the conditional use, and I guess what Mr. Robertson said, how this were acted on, because in a lot of the smaller scale conditional use things, we take up things like, you know, do you want a sign? Do you want it lighted? And where are the dumpsters and will they be screened, of which I'm not seeing on this site plan. It seemed like there'd be a lot for us to wade through.
It requires particular attention to site plan review and final site plan approval.
Right.
But if you look at other Commonwealth projects, you'll get a sense of the quality of what we're talking about.
And I have seen them. I'm familiar. Like you stopped up there at that Dairy Queen up there near up there 141. Yeah. Yeah. Car pulls right off the side of the road. Are there any tax ditches on the site?
I can't answer that, Mr. Bronte.
No tax ditches. And then the some of the concerns such as attraction of nuisance waterfowl, which may be a hazard to the aviation traffic. How do you address that?
Sir, you'll have to step up to the microphone.
The large pond that's to the north of the site that's in the direct path of the plains will be a dry pond and will not attract any waterfowl.
Thank you. Other questions?
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
I'd like to get back to the gated situation between the PATS facility and the rest of the project. The industrial air park is typically gated, controlled by security. How would this be? Would just the Pats facility be allowed access to the air park, or would the whole project be allowed access to the park?
It that will be depending on what's Pats, as Pats looks at the program and deals with the airport, it'll have to be an agreement between them and the airport manager on how the security is maintained there. Obviously, if it needed to be, we could gate that building or surround that building. That building will be on a separate, could be on a separate tax parcel number and gated and just left with that security just to be monitored by airport security itself. We're not that far along, I think, with the program.
I was just trying, that's one of the questions that keeps coming up, and you
definitely
hear it from the opposition also, because you could pull a substantial number of the vehicles back to the security access and would eliminate or direct that traffic in both directions rather than right back out towards Route 9.
We could better answer that once we get a little further along with the tenant and see what his program is and how he works that out with airport security.
Is the Dell.com comments on TIS or your traffic impact study, there's two entrances shown. Does that seem to be acceptable to DelDOT and what you've seen in their comments on the traffic impact study?
As the owner of the park, I don't have a problem with that. That seems to be a condition to make it more acceptable and a better safety component to the park. But
to have two entrances?
Yes.
What I'm saying is that the DelDOT seem acceptable to having two entrances.
They didn't provide us with any negatives.
Yeah, because typically they try to limit it to one, giving more control. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Couts.
No additional questions.
Okay, Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Council.
Just to follow up on what Lauren said, I mean, with, I think I know from what the gentleman said, the parking for the proposed warehouse number one, which I think from what everybody says where Pass would go, is it the intention to direct that out through the main entrance of the air park, or do we just not know yet?
We just don't know yet.
That was the only question I had. All the rest were asked and answered.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Can I have a couple more?
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson?
This is questions or concerns I have, and I'm perhaps some of the folks in the audience as well, is what the intended uses of the warehouse buildings, and I know we've had the discussion already that we're not talking manufacturing, we're talking perhaps storage and distribution. So am I correct in that we're not talking about any assembling of parts or whatever, we're talking distribution?
I can't confirm that, not knowing the full tenants of the park. For instance, if I refer to a GM just-in-time program up in GM, a typical warehouse up in one of our parks, 150, 200,000 square feet, housing probably more than, for maybe say 10,000 motors and struts for GM. GM would call for that. They would mount those engines with some components that were all in the warehouse and then ship them directly to GM. So there'd be a storage and there could be some light assembly there with where they add a strut to a motor mount or something like that. But that happened to be a specific market. As best I know, the Pats operation, it's a little different. They get components in from all over their network. They have multiple companies. So in an aircraft fuselage might be 100 parts, or in a tank operation could be 50 parts. But those are done at the aircraft and assembled and put into the plane.
Well, again, my point is seeking clarification so that we don't have a misunderstanding where the project to be approved, that things suddenly are not what they seem.
I guess the definition of manufacturing as you see it would have to be asked to me. I mean, I don't know how to be specific. I'm not manufacturing a car like you would at GM or Chrysler. I'm not. If you could describe to me what specifically what you want.
Well, I guess this is my concern. If you're envisioning or Pat's is envisioning using the property in one way, and we as a commission decide to put certain conditions and stipulations on the property, that perhaps those activities cannot occur, then that becomes a.
Well, Mr. Johnson, let me try to help you out a little bit here. There is a. First of all, we're making a land use decision tonight, and or sometime soon, we're having a land use hearing tonight as to whether or not something like this should even be there. There's something known as incidental or ancillary assembly that you get businesses that are primarily warehousing, but there might be a small assembly operation that takes place among the parts that are in the warehouse before they get sent over someplace else to be installed somewhere. And that's why it's good that this is a conditional use, because we can try to bring some definitions to those kinds of things. And one of the difficulties of that is when there's a speculative feature to what's being done here, since they don't know everybody's going to go in every place. If they have to come back and ask us, they have to come back and ask us. That's the nice thing about the conditional use. When they go to make an application to build out a space and it's a manufacturing facility, well, they may have to come back and ask this group's permission to have one there. And they have apparently are comfortable doing that. So, I think that should it be approved, that conditions could probably be developed that would cover most of those things. But if there's a question, they've got to come back to the commission. And that's the beauty of the conditional use.
That was my point, Mr. Smith.
Okay. No further questions this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. And anyone else have any questions at this point? All right, then. We thank you, gentlemen. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1705, the Commonwealth Group? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1705? Okay, we'll start over here with you, sir. You to give us your name and address. And
I'll be done in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay.
For the benefit of Mr. Wilson, he's already provided me with a copy of his comments and some information, which I'll pass down.
Those will be made part of the record, sir.
My name is Richard Wilson, and I live approximately 100 feet northeast of the proposed area on Park Avenue 23054. And they have done a good job of presenting their case. I will say that. My biggest concern, which
is not as good as we would have liked, but go ahead.
Well, at least they think so, but I'm putting up a red flag, and this application is wrongly zoned. This should be light industry, one or more. And I will address that now. Okay, back in the 70s, when this became zoned as AR, Agriculture Residential, it had been farmed for approximately 60 years, the land head that is still under cultivation up to this year. And then there was woodland that had been selected and harvested a couple times, and there was also a dwelling on the premises, so it certainly met that criteria without question. Now we're removing all of the farming land from farm operation. We're removing all of the timberland from timber operation, and now we're going into a manufacturing. Now you've heard the word said here. I can attest to the fact I was there with four others at Mr. Rogers' house, when Mr. Russo stated that there would be manufacturing in the Patch building with approximately 150 people working there. So that's the reason for the parking. The parking is needed there. It's not needed for the other part. I don't see them shuttling back and forth. It's going to be used there. That's to start with, in his own words. We also asked if the other buildings were going to be used for manufacturing, perhaps. So that's where I'm coming from. So we need to, this application should not have been submitted on condition. It should have been submitted in the light industry, because that's what's going to be there. And we're not going to be you folks don't want to have to be a police force. So if this is light industry, it takes you folks off the hook. I really believe that this is going to be contested, and rightfully so, if this goes through as the applicant has applied for. Now, as far as a wetland issue, I've got, I'll tell you, I wished I would have known that was going to be brought up. I have a colored chart here designating all of that woodland in designate as wetland. There it is right there. And I wished I could have put that, should have put it in your packet. But so that certainly needs to be addressed. And then,
Mr. Wilson, could I see that for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Because you can still hand something up if you want.
Yes.
The applicant is subject to the 72-hour rule. You are not.
You see, can you make it where the park is going to be, the proposed park?
What on here is saying that it's wetlands, though?
Okay.
What's telling me that that's wetlands?
These lines here designate wetlands.
And who did this? Who was the author of this?
This can be obtained from the state of Delaware, right there. That was obtained from the state of Delaware. So that's not something made up. So that throws another red flag in the air, as far as I'm concerned. And after this is properly zoned, and I still contend that it needs to be light industry number one or two. The park is light industry number two, if I'm not mistaken. The park is. And this is, maybe we haven't realized this, but this is the largest project of its nature in Sussex County ever. So you're ruling on something that is the largest ever. I really believe that there's going to be somewhere between 500 and 1,000 vehicles in and out of there every 24 hours. This traffic study hasn't been complete. What's the traffic like do? It slows the traffic up, doesn't it? Nine is going to be slowed up, and now we're able to get out there on nine with no problem. But they're anticipating enough traffic so that they're having to put a light there to stop nine, so traffic keeps backing up and backing up. So I know that is going to be a major problem, but that needs to be addressed after this is zone application is submitted correctly. I know the reason they don't want light manufacturing. If you will read, there's a lot of don'ts that they can't do. There's a lot of issues there that will come into play that there will be more of an impact study. There will be, wetlands will be addressed. And right now, everything is just sort of on the surface. But there will be some in-depth study that's going to have to be done by the state and by different organizations before this would be approved. If the applicant, so if I was applying for it.
I need to hang on for a second.
Okay.
Because the process that I think you're describing with the various state agencies and the federal government, that happens
no matter what,
whether it's a conditional use or whether it's light industrial.
Isn't the setbacks different though?
Well, I'll tell you,
100 feet
with a conditional use, there's the potential for it to be a lot stricter. The one thing that
hasn't been submitted that way, though. It's been submitted
because
every square foot has been filled.
That's the difference with light industrial. They could come in and do basically whatever they wanted as long as it's permitted. Under conditional uses, I think somebody explained up here, the county can put whatever conditions. We can condition it down so they can only do one thing, if we wanted to under conditional use. So it's actually more restrictive. the way that they've applied. I mean, that's the way historically we've looked at it. A good example is people going for conditional uses instead of a commercial zoning, so you can get a detailed, specific, you know, indication of what somebody can do. The fact that they haven't supplied conditions, you shouldn't read into that, because if this gets approved, I can just about guarantee this commission is going to put some heavy-duty conditions on it.
Well, I'll tell you what we would like to see put on there. You had before you, did you pack, do they have these pictures?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to explain to you what you're looking at there. The first picture there is that shows a ditch which is exactly 8 feet to 8.5 feet from the edge of the white line there, and that's a very active ditch. And on the other, the next picture, and that one is facing north, and that is on the applicant's side. Then over on the other side, going south, is showing the ditch yard, and that is the same distance. And if you look there at the bigger picture, the last one, you'll see that we've held a tape there at that white line, and it is about 8.5 feet. There's going to have to be a lot of ditch issues, and I believe, and I almost, as far as changing these things up, about to, some was said about these prints changing up and all. You have one that doesn't show the wetlands in it, don't you? In the largest building, which was 120,000 square feet. Well, this one right here certainly shows it in it, and it's dated the same time. I don't know how that happened. And we have back there the original copy. And so there's a lot of things here that is certainly troubling to me, and I don't fully understand, but we'd like to see that this field, and you can see the second picture there showing that ditch I was speaking about. You can see the integrity of the field, and the woods are beautiful. What we'd like to see is that field left intact and 100 feet of buffer of the tree line left. Now, they're talking about saving these trees. Those trees, if you look on there, I don't see any that's being saved other than in the wetlands. All the others is being put in the buildings. And these are not any buildings on wheels or anything. They're permanent structures. And if there's manufacturing going there, and I know there's manufacturing going there, man said so. So this needs to be addressed in a different way. As far as I'm concerned, the applicant hasn't applied for the correct zoning on this. And there's a lot more I could say, but Mr. Kenny, Wilson, you probably have something. Okay, all right, okay.
Question. I'm just trying to understand your point. Are you saying that you would support a light industrial zoning? You think that's what it should be? Is that what you're telling
us?
Okay, that's all we need. We thank
sure.
you. Okay, we thank you. Okay, who's next?
Yeah.
Another written comment being passed down for the record.
Okay. All right, sir.
Hello, my name is Kenneth Rogers. I live at 23022 Park Avenue, Georgetown, Delaware. This is directly across the road from the proposed project. My front yard is within 60 feet of the proposed industrial park. I have lived in the same house on Park Avenue for 27 years. During that time, I have seen Road 321, Park Avenue, go from a quiet country road to a truck bypass, and now proposed industrial park thoroughfare. I am very concerned about the impacts of this project for several reasons. Safety. In the past several years, two people have been killed in automobile accidents literally in front of our houses where the planned new entrances are to be placed. One of them is which is inside of my driveway, if you notice on the blueprints. Environmental impacts and negative impacts on property values. This proposed industrial park has forced our community into a situation where we feel we must protect our interests. Specifically, the following issues are major problems that should cause the board to reject this proposal. Revised wetlands mapping between planned submittals in the industrial park's favor. This looks very suspicious. I do not understand how things such as wetlands can change this much in such a short period. Building numbers change between plan submittals. This is especially in regards to the PLUS review comments. The state recommends omission of buildings 3 and 4 from the original proposal, PATS buildings. Subsequential submittals combine buildings 3 and 4 into buildings 1 on the same spot that the PLUS review recommended for no building. Is this a coincidence? Can the city of Georgetown legally provide infrastructure and service such as water and sewer to private sector entities on private property, not within the city limits? Does the city have the capacity to provide these services without negative effects on the systems? Who will pay for infrastructure upgrades? Engineer Consultants reports that no Army Corps of Engineers jurisdictional determination is thought to be required. Is a jurisdictional determination required or not? Who makes these determinations? PLUS review airport issues. The federal government has spent an untold amount of money to upgrade the airport. Does this project negatively influence the airport in any way? The plan does not address lighting questions raised in the PLUS comments regards to pilot night vision. No building heights are noted on the plans. Should allowances for radio towers be put into place? We would like to see the county request an airfield obstruction study with regard to this project. The PLUS review comments mentions this on page 19. Fire lanes are not marked or accounted for in the building plans for any of the buildings. A proposed natural gas substation location is directly across the road, unacceptably close to my bedroom. I'm not particularly wanting to get blowed up. Gating and security are not noted on the plans. 24-hour security should be provided because of an unsecured industrial park will create an attractive nuisance. Landowners across from King Farm Industrial Park should not have to lose any of their land for Commonwealth Group Limited's project. Our understanding for meeting with Mr. Ruggio is that our mailboxes will not have to be moved, nor will those directly across from the industrial park lose any current land, even if it is to build road upgrades. In conclusion, this project will have a negative impact on neighboring residential property values. The King Farm Industrial Park does not fit the character of our community. The current industrial park is nicely hidden behind a row of trees as well as a large field. I think that if this project should go into effect, in addition to all of the above, the county should enforce Commonwealth Group Limited to give $1 million in space within the park of the Georgetown Fire Company and EMS, because the King Farm Industrial Park will no doubt dramatically decrease the survivability of motorists on Park Avenue. And I'd just like to add one thing. A month ago, I helped the little girls next door get off the bus every day. About a month ago, the bus was stopping. I was standing in my driveway waiting for them, and the most beautiful bald eagle sailed right down the side of the bus. People didn't notice that on their things. But we see this all the time. He may not be nesting there. He hunts there. He gathers water there. He doesn't live there, but he makes that part of his home in his range. Those children got to see something that is going to vanish in their lifetime, and that's the trees, and that's the beauty of our area. And it is a beautiful area. And I thank you for your time.
All right, sir. We thank you. And who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
I have some more comments.
Okay.
From the opposition.
This lady, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Step right up.
Never.
Step right up. Sorry. I'll let you, I'll get to you in a minute.
No problem.
Okay. Here is a photograph I'd like to show
you. I need you to give us your name, please.
I'm Betty Walsh.
Okay.
I live at 23376 Park Avenue.
Good evening. And you may hand up whatever you would like us to see.
Thank you. This was taken in February, and this is standard. Going on to Route 9, it backs up sometimes as far as the railroad mm-hmm. when they say there isn't a traffic problem. Okay, this is just a quick letter, and I'll just skim through it.
Okay.
I bought the house back in May 15, 2006. In November, I did write this letter to Mrs. Wicks, the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, not even aware that anything would even be built so close to our house. says, I'm writing you this letter about a very severe problem that we have living at 23376 Park Avenue, Georgetown. Before I tell you this problem, I just wish to give you a little bit of background of myself, because I know traffic. I live behind a railroad track, or a railroad track ran in back of my house in Goshen, New York. I lived in New York State, and I commuted to New York City on Interstate 287, which is a 6 and 8 lane highway. I lived in Champaign, Illinois, with thousands of people coming to the University of Illinois on football day. However, can't imagine the noise, the dirt, the smell of all kinds, and it starts at 4 a.m. There are days where there may be 4 to 6 semi-diesel trucks all downshifting to enter Route 9. One morning I had a visitor, in fact he was actually from the zoning department. They had to come into my living room because the noise was so heavy. The road is dangerous. It's a narrow country road with no shoulders on either side. School children have no place to walk to catch their bus. The dark bus goes down Route 9, but you can't walk to get it. To ride a bike, it's life-threatening. And just a little simple problem, putting my garbage pail out. The semis just knock it right over because they travel so fast, and that's where they stop. It's a really fast lane. The zoning board gave permission. Says, am I happy, unhappy with the situation? You bet I am, because I can't even open a window. I can't even sit in my front yard until after 5 o'clock. The zoning board did give permission for these little homes to be built, making it somewhat a residential area. Knowing the traffic, these lots should never have been approved for these homes to be built in the first place, not realizing that Route 9 was going to be so busy. I expected reasonable commercial traffic, but I did not expect traffic that it right now can make my house vibrate. I don't know what can be done about this problem, but I do know the traffic conditions will never improve. It will only get worse. And it just goes on to say the speed of the traffic. But she did refer me to speak to a Mr. Lawrence Lank, and he is in the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Board, and I did speak to him, and he at one time told me to be prepared that it was only going to get worse. So I just thought I'd let you know.
Thank you.
You want to submit that for the record, ma'am?
Pardon?
You want to submit your letter
for the record?
Sure.
Since you only summarized.
Hand that up to Mr. Lank.
Yeah. Mr. Lank. Huh? Mr. Lank, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else with something different?
I have some additional comments that came in.
Okay, go ahead.
They were handed
Mr.
to
Lank.
Me before me.
Go ahead.
For the benefit of the commission again, I passed down another letter. I'll try to read it. Excuse my cold. We have a letter from Thomas J. Adams and Teresa F. Moore Adams, dated June 12th. It was handed to me this evening. It says, regrettably, my wife and I are unable to attend tonight's planning and zoning hearing concerning the King Farm Industrial Park Conditional Use 1705, the Commonwealth Group. We did want the commission to be aware of our concerns concerning this project and the efforts that could result from a project of this proportion. We have lived directly across from this land for the past 24 years and have always been proud to say that we live in the country in Sussex County. Even though the industrial park is across from our property, the farm fields and forests have provided a buffer for area residents and have shielded the park from view. We believe that this project does not belong in a proposed location due to the traffic issues that it will exacerbate and create. The farmland and 50-year-old irreplaceable forest, it will destroy the devaluation of the lands and homes in the area and the complete change of character of the area that will occur. If this project is to be considered, the applicant should be required to resubmit their proposal requesting the proper zoning district designation, which seems to be LI1 at a minimum. This project is neither agricultural nor residential in nature. This project does seem to fit in the LI1 designation in light of Article 13, LI1 Light Limited Industrial District, 115-92, the purpose of the code, containing the sentence that reads, typical development in the district would be that which is commonly known as an industrial park. This project is clearly an extension of the Sussex County Industrial Park, all but a privately owned extension, and will be of a very similar nature. It should then be required to be of similar zoning district designation. The Sussex County Industrial Park is zoned LI2. We are concerned that the applicant has not addressed the issue of required and proposed parking as was requested by Sussex County, contained in a PLUS review document and references page 17 of the PLUS comments 2006-0705, the King Farm Industrial Park. It is our belief that a traffic study based on the most recent proposed plan, which includes the Pats building and sizable parking lot, should be required of the applicant. Although our belief is that the proposal is more suited for a LI1 or LI2 zoning, in the event the commission disagrees, we have attached proposed conditions that we feel are appropriate and should be required if approved. 1, the buffer for this project should include the current agricultural field and 100 feet of uncut forest. And then as noted in the text of the letter, most people are unaware of the industrial park when they travel Park Avenue. This proposed buffer will maintain and preserve that view for travelers and provide a noise, light, and dust buffer for the residents of the area. 2, no industrial or manufacturing activities will take place on premise, and these were not listed in the applicant's proposal. 3, all traffic utilize the current entrance exit to the industrial park. 4, all road improvements required be constructed on proposed parks property, including egress, regress, deceleration, and acceleration lanes. 5, if new entrance or entrances are allowed, all heavy traffic, being tractor trailer, dump truck, etc., would be prohibited from using the new entrances. The entrances should not be open to unrestricted entrance and exit. 6, any traffic that is created by current park businesses connected to the county air park would be required to utilize the current park entrance. It's noted this should not become a shortcut for current park traffic. 7, no operations on Sunday. 8, no operation after 12 p.m. on Saturday. 9, no operations after 6 p.m. on weekdays. 10, no lights, security or otherwise, pointing towards Park Avenue. And 11, no hazardous materials can be stored or manufactured on premise. And that's the conclusion of the Adams letter. And then for the benefit of the commission again, I passed down copies of petitions in opposition, which have been signed by 101 individuals and represents 70 households in the immediate area. And the petition states, we, the undersigned, oppose the above captioned conditional use application for the following reasons. 1, that the proposal is inconsistent with the agricultural or residential character of the neighborhood. 2, the AR1 conditional use is inappropriate for an industrial park. 3, that the proposal would greatly increase traffic on Park Avenue. 4, that the increased traffic, noise, congestion will adversely affect the health, safety, and welfare of the surrounding community, including decreasing property values. And I have the copy here with the original signatures. And that's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition with something different than what we've heard so far? Okay, then. I think because of the large turnout, we'd like to see a show of hands. The applicant and his entourage accepted. Is who's in favor? Okay, all those who are opposed, please raise your hand so that we can count them. And give our attorney plenty of time. He's a lawyer, not a mathematician.
Thanks, Mr. Wheeler.
I think he might have enough fingers and toes for the whole crowd here.
I had 19. Oh, you had one left over. Okay.
Put right, that then. In support.
What's
that? What was in support?
Zero.
None in support, 19 against. Ladies and gentlemen, I will close the public hearing. I want to thank you for coming and sharing your views with us. I want to ask you if you would be so kind as to leave quickly and quietly. You may have all the conversation you like outside. We have a very long agenda ahead of us, and we thank you for being here.